Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all sounded half excited. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in God's house again. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be back at Park Place Baptist Church, and we're grateful to you and the church family for allowing us to come and worship and minister once again here. And it's a privilege of God to be able to read from His Word today. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, our thought would come today from the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Children's message for you this morning. All of you as a child sometime, and you still are if you're a child of God. That's what we're considered. So I have a children's message for you, for God's children. Amen. Before we read the scripture, there was a lawyer and a farmer got on the plane together. They got on the plane. The farmer was tired. I just want to sleep this flight. Leave me alone, because the lawyer said, hey, let's play a game to take up some time of our flight. The lawyer said, no, I'd rather sleep. I'm rather tired. He said to the farmer, come on, just one round of this game. Here's how it goes. If I ask you a question and you can't answer it, all you have to pay me is $5. If you ask me a question and I can't answer it, the lawyer speaking, I'll give you $25,000. The farmer's like, that's a great deal. I'll take it. So, lawyer says, I'll go first. He says, what's the distance from the earth to the sun? The farmer had no clue how many millions of miles it was, so he didn't say a thing. Stuck his hand in his pocket, grabbed $5, and paid the lawyer his debt for the game. Lawyer says, okay, farmer, it's your turn. So the farmer asks a question. What can go up a hill with three legs and come back down with four? The lawyer's eyes got big and amazed because he had no clue. So he's thinking, well, you just rest. Let me ponder on your question for a minute. So the farmer went to sleep. He's pulling out iPads. He's pulling out his international phone. He's pulling out the credit card to do the swipe phone on the airplane so he can call all of his smartest friends asking the question, what goes up a hill with three legs and comes back down with four? And no one could find the answer. So near the end of the flight, he wakes up the farmer. He says, I give up. He pulls out $25,000 out of his briefcase in a big pack, hands it to the farmer. Farmer went back to sleep for the last few minutes of the flight, and it ate the lawyer up. He wanted to know what it was. So woke him up again after he had dozed back off and asked the farmer, said, all right, farmer, now I don't know, but you tell me, what is it that goes up a hill with three legs and comes back down with four? Farmer still didn't say anything, put his hand in his pocket, got $5 and paid the lawyer because he didn't know the answer to the question either. He just cleared $24,990, if you will. There you go. Amen? I hope you understood. Sometimes we think we're smarter than we really are. If you're willing and able to stand, Luke chapter 19, verses number 1 to 10, we'll read for this morning's thought. Certainties for life. If you're willing and able, I'd ask you to stand to reverence His Word. Verses 1 to 10 reads this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You may be seated this morning. Pray that God would bless the reading of His Word this morning. Comes from a childhood song we used to sing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. But there's a certainty that we find here in a scripture that seems to have uncertainty. Not like the old stories of the Bible. And I like old time religion. You say, why? Well, sunlight's old. I like it too. I like air, it's old, don't y'all? How about water? Amen. I love the old story that we're going to mention this morning because it offers us a certainty in uncertain times. And I hope today that by reading this childhood story that it would offer us some certainty in our uncertain times. And how was it uncertain for Zacchaeus? Well, the Bible says that he's a tax collector here in the scripture that we read, and he's rich, and he's amongst a crowd of people. Now, I don't know about you, but whose favorite person in here is a tax collector? Amen. Sorry if you're a tax collector, but that's just not a famous thing or a famous occupation. It wasn't in those days either. Here's Zacchaeus. It said he was rich. He was the chief amongst the publicans or the tax collectors. And here he is in the midst of a crowd. But it tells me something. In those days, you know, they was looked on as crooks. They would come in and they would take those things from people, the families, and he would take even more and beyond what the government was asking for. And that's how they got rich. And that's how Zacchaeus had gotten rich. But here he is in the midst of a group of people, the last place you'd think he would be, out in a meeting. But there he was. Uncertainty. But it shows you and I that he's looking for something more than money can offer him. It shows you and I that he's looking for something greater than the world can give him. It can't be found in worldly treasures. It can't be found in financial bank statement that says, I've got enough to depend on. It can't be found. This is an uncertain place that he's in, an uncertain atmosphere. But I thank God that if you bring your uncertainty to God, you can leave with certainty. And today I want to look at just a few certainties that we can find here in the life of Zacchaeus. If it was up to man, if man was in charge of things, thank God he's not. But if man were in charge of things, Zacchaeus would have never been changed. He'd have never had a chance. No one liked him. No one liked what he did, how he lived. No one. It just wasn't, you could ask people and they could tell you in a hypocritical, yeah, I like Zacchaeus. But no, they didn't. He took their money from him. And, here he is. If we had it up to us, Zacchaeus would have never been changed. And nor would I, or nor of you, would you, if it depended on man. But thank God our change doesn't depend on man. It depends on God. Amen? Thank God for that. We live in the age of question. With the information highway, we've got all the answers at the touch of a finger. www.whatever.com. You can find the answer. Whatever it is that you want to look for. But we still have the most uncertain times that we live in than ever in history before. You know, I was coming here. I've got one of them things called TomTom. That's just your pastor's name doubled, okay? TomTom. You can punch in an address and it'll tell you exactly where to go. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all seen them little gadgets? Now, trust me, I didn't spend money to buy it. Someone gave it to me. Bless God. They said, hey, you travel a lot. Would you like to have this in your car? I was like, sure. I mean, his name's Tom, and he talks to me all the time. He's like, turn left. And I'm like, no, we need to turn right here, Tom. But Tom knows best, okay? Now, let me tell you why. I was preaching down in South Carolina. It's been 2 months ago. And Tom's telling me to go down a dirt road, and I'm arguing, this does not look safe, Tom. And, I just had my baby, my wife, you didn't go with me to South Carolina, should it? I was going through a pine thicket. and there's lawnmowers parked on the side of the road, okay? And I'm thinking, good Lord, Tom, this ain't right. But Tom's like, hey, stay straight. So I stayed straight, and I went the other mile, and the end of the road, turn. Y'all know how he says, turn right away. Okay, Tom, I did it. But it got me to my destination, to where I was going. And I thought, well, you know, if I take that gravel road, he can't be right. Surely it would be more sensible to go all the way down here and turn back right. But what Tom did, he cut off a corner of my journey, a leg of my journey, that would have wasted part of my time. Can I tell you this, friends? There's no better GPS than God's Word for your life. When it says turn left, you ought to trust Tom and say, hey, I'm going to go left. Friends, I hope you're listening today. There is certainty in uncertain times in this book. And I prayed to God today that He would help us to understand some things about Zacchaeus' life that give us some certainties in our life as well. Number one is this. Verse number 5 is our key verse this morning. We'll look through that. Verse number 5 says this, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Certainty number 1, he sees you. That's a certainty. You can bank on it. Jesus sees you where you are, however you are. Friends, I can assure you a certainty, Jesus sees you. Amen. He sees you where you are today. Zacchaeus went to see Jesus, the Bible says in the previous scripture. It says that Zacchaeus was out to see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. How many of you ever been to a church meeting and you got more than you bargained for? You come to see something and God just showed up and he saw you and you realize that. That's what happened here with Zacchaeus. God saw him, and it's a certainty today, whether you realize it or not, Jesus sees you wherever you are. He did that in Zacchaeus' day, and I can see that through, you know, there's just God's hand all over this scripture where Zacchaeus is in a sycamore tree. You know, there's divine preparation that's here. How many of you think that's a sensible place to be born again, sycamore tree? Right? I mean, here you have a sinner that's sitting up in a sycamore tree. He's there. Now, does that seem sensible to you? Doesn't, does it? But friends, I thank God that He goes beyond our senses. He can work wherever and however He chooses. There was divine preparation that put Him in this place. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a sycamore tree, if you're in the Lord's house, if you're on a car, if you're on a boat. Let me tell you, friends, whenever you realize that God sees you, that's the time to act. That's the time to heed His voice. That's the time to say, hey, Lord, you do see me. You see how I am. You see who I am. And Zacchaeus realized of that in this point of Scripture. There was not only the divine preparation that was there, there was divine providence in this Scripture that we've read this morning. He wasn't there by chance. It wasn't just by chance that there was a crowd there. It wasn't just by chance that he's a short little fella. Now, some of y'all may be short and be vertically challenged, but he was too. And he was amongst a group of people, and he couldn't see nowhere. My wife, she claims to be 5, but she's not 5 foot yet. She's short, and she knows what it's like not to be able to see. But friends, can I tell you this today, that it wasn't just by chance that he was short and in a group of a big people. It was all orchestrated by the hands of God. And it wasn't by chance that a seed fell there one day years and years ago and put a sycamore tree just by there where he could climb up and see. It wasn't by chance. Friends, divine preparation. There was divine providence in God's hand in this Scripture. And it's not by chance that you're here today. It's certain that He sees you, each one of you, where you sit today, what you have in your life. He knows everything. And He's got you here for this day, for this reason. You know, God knew where to put the tree. He knew to make Zacchaeus that height. He knew all those things. But not only that, we find the divine purpose of our Savior, verse number 10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You want to know why Jesus came? There's the answer right there, that scripture. Verse number 10 of Luke 19. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, nobody can do things about you whenever they see you. I mean, they can kind of try to intervene. But no one's ever seen me like my mom and dad seen me. No one's ever seen me like my wife has seen me, like my grandparents have seen me. They saw me while I was tiny. You know, they changed my diapers. They watched me come through school. They watched me as I graduated from high school. They watched me after I graduated Bible college. They watched me after I went to do mission work in India. They saw all that. But to say that, I want to say this. When they saw me do something, and I realized they saw me, it didn't change me any. You know, we've got our own will. But when we realize that Jesus sees us, dear friends, it changes us. Amen? It'll change us and who we are. It changed Zacchaeus and who he was. You know, my son was born, what, Grace, two months back. Forgive me for not remembering. But can I tell you this today? My son doesn't have a left hand. He was born without a left hand. And you know, after we found that out after the sonogram, you know what I asked God? I said, God, that ain't fair. I said, Lord, you know what? I would be willing to give my left hand. You can take it in an accident. You do it, whatever. I'll be more than happy to take my whole arm if you want, if he can have a left hand. And I thought to myself, you know what? God sees on down the road farther than I can ever imagine seeing. And he knows something about that I'll never be able to understand. But friends, I want you to know that God's providential hand has a plan for him. He's got a plan for each one of you because God sees you the way no anyone else can. He sees you. He knows where you are today. He knows where you stand. He saw Adam when he hid in the garden. He saw David when he sinned with Bathsheba. He saw Hagar when she was suffering in pain. He saw Peter when he denied him outside by the fire. He saw all those things. And I can assure you, he sees you where you are today. It's certain. It's certain. In uncertain times, number one, God sees you. He saw Zacchaeus. You know, many people, like Brother Dean mentioned this morning, why'd you come to church? You come to worship? You come to fellowship? A lot of people come to see what's going on in this group or that. No. Man, we ought to come to see him, to meet with him. He sees you. Your talent, your rebellion, your inability, your ability, talents, whatever. He sees you where you are today. That's certain. Number two. Not only is it certain that he sees you, verse number 5 once again, and he saw him. What does the next part say? And he said unto him. Not only is it certain that God sees you, it is a certainty that he'll speak to you. And he said unto him. He said unto him. Speaking to Zacchaeus. I thank God for his divine voice when the Spirit of God speaks to man's heart. Amen. Because he can speak to us like no other. He can challenge us through his blessed word. You know, one day whenever I was younger, I realized, hey, I'm a lost sinner. He spoke to me like no other person could. And he'll speak to you. It's a certainty that he'll speak to us. You know, this part of the scripture in Zacchaeus' life was bigger than any tax adventure that he's ever been on in life. Okay? God's speaking to him. Here he is. He's getting down out of the tree. But there was a time that he had never heard his voice before. First time he heard the sweet voice of God, he acted on it. He started to get down. But thank God for his divine voice that speaks to us. Amen? Are you happy that God speaks still? In uncertain times, there's a certainty that you can find that God still speaks to me. People say, you know, I don't go to church, Brother Todd, because people won't speak to me. You may be one of the people that won't do the speaking. I'm just saying. But I can assure you that if you've come here today, God will speak to you. It's a certainty. He said unto him, friends, God plays no favors. He'll speak to you as well. That's a certainty. God will speak to his people. Well, Brother Todd, how does God speak? I love the question. I'm glad you asked. You know, I hear spiritual Fruit Loops all the time. You know, I was sitting at a table, the salt and pepper shaker started dancing on the table. I knew it was God. I was like, man, you must have been an earthquake. Yeah, I mean, sure, God caused the earthquake, but hey, duh. I was driving down the road and I heard a voice from the water tank speak to me. Like, man, there's probably somebody inside the water tank trying to get out. Wrote out Jesus in the sky. Hey, God speaks in different ways, but I can assure you this, that God promises through His Word that He'll speak to us through a small voice. How can I explain it? I can't. If I could, I'd be really smart, but I can't. But let me tell you something today. God still speaks, and He'll speak to your heart if you'll listen. I ain't going to say, well, this is the only way God can speak, or this is... No, I'm not going to say that, but friends, it's certain that He speaks to us. He'll speak to you. He speaks to me. And they had never met before. I find this interesting. First time they've ever met. Number three is this. Not only will He speak to you, but before I get to that point, let me back up just for a second, because there is an importance in understanding God speaks to us, certainty that God speaks to us. You know, there was an instance in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 where here God's speaking to Samuel. Samuel gets up out of his bed, goes to Eli, says, "Here am I." Did it three times. And the third time, Eli finally realized, hey, God's speaking to Samuel. Next time the Lord calls you, Samuel, just say, "Here am I, your servant's listening." Dear friends, when the Lord speaks to you today, will you please say to Him, "Here am I, your servant's listening," because God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for each one of us. You know, I almost every day, I try to pray at least 3 to 4 times a week for my family. Lord, speak to my family. Lord, speak to my church family. Lord, speak to my Christian brothers and sisters. Speak to us. Because I feel like we don't take time to listen to what God has to say. Too busy. Friends, listen to Him because He still speaks. Amen. It's a certainty. He said unto him, and things change when He speaks. There were two men back in the 1800s used to run a ferry transport across the Mississippi. They started their business, really succeeded, especially at carnival time every year. Because folk from this side of the river wanted to go to the other side of the river to enjoy the carnival. So they ran their ferry transport with their logs and they crossed the river. You know, it's a really wide river, take, I don't know, an hour or so across sometimes. And anyway, during the carnival time one year, they decided, we never enjoy the goodness of the carnival. Let's go on the last night and really enjoy. So on the last trip of the evening with the people, they said, okay, we're done for today. We're going to enjoy the carnival as well. They tied their boat up to the tree, got off the ferry, went up the hill, enjoyed the carnival. And Peter said to Jacob, hey, Jacob, not wrong to drink, is it? He's like, nah, let's just have a shot. We'll buy a bottle and just have a shot. Well, the shot turned into the whole bottle, and that was bad news because they was rather drunken. Well, they got ready to leave the carnival. Fog had set in the night. So Peter says to Jacob, I'll row the boat first. Peter rows hours and passes out. Jacob wakes up, realizes his friend Peter's passed out. So he starts rowing the boat till he passes out again. Next morning, they woke up after the fog had cleared. They looked back and they were still tied to the tree. Hope you're listening. Why can't I get ahead in Christian life? Maybe you're still tied to the tree because you've never realized that He's speaking to you, telling to let go of what you're holding on to. You want to make it across? Have victorious Christian living. Realize that He sees you. Realize that He's speaking to you today. Number three is this. It is certainty. Verse number 5. He saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus. Never met him before. And he already knows him on a first name basis. You come down. He knew him. Never met him before. And he knew him. He knew who he was. He knew who he was calling. He knew he was a cheater. He knew he was a sinner. Knew he was a thief. Knew he was a liar. Knew he was a failure. But friends, he knew him. It's certainty that God knows you. He knows you by name. He knows where you are. You know, to the government, you may be just a statistic, just a social security number, just this or just that. But friends, to God, He knows your name. Each one of us is certain. Zacchaeus, He knew him. And He knows you today.
I got a call this year from the credit card companies. They said, are you David Payne? I said, yes, I am, because that's my first name. My parents did that to torture me when I go to the doctor's office. They call me Todd, but you go to the doctor's office, you know, they call David Payne. I'm like, who in the world's that? I'm sitting there waiting for them to call my name. But anyway, credit card company called me and said, this David Payne? I said, yes, it is. They said, well, you owe $7,000 on your credit card. I said, well, that's crazy. I don't even have that credit card. Said, well, it shows here on our system that you owe $7,000 to our Chase Manhattan account. I said, well, that's good, but can you tell me what my birthday is? They said, yeah, you was born in 1961. I was like, boy, let me tell you, if I was born in 1961, I sure look young. I said, you got the wrong David Payne. And I don't owe you nothing. You know what? They had a little glitch in their system. They got them all the time. Thank God God doesn't have a glitch in his little system. He knows your name. He knows which David Payne you are. He knows who you are. Zacchaeus, he knew. No doubt about it. You know, when I got saved, when I gave my life to the Lord, it felt like I won a sweepstakes. Best thing that's ever happened to me. Praise God. Man, there's no better feeling than when he calls your name. When you realize that he sees you. When you realize that he's speaking to you. When you realize that he knows your name. There's no better day than that. We're not hard to find. We don't have God fooled. Friends, Saul is on the road to Damascus. Never met God before. Saul, why persecute me? Already knew him by first. And you know what happened? Right after God spoke to Saul, do you know what Saul said? Acts chapter number 9, verse 4 and 5. Saul said, Lord. Automatically, Saul knew the Lord. Dear friends, I thank God that he knows us by name. It's certain in a world of uncertainties. Number 4, verse number 5 once again. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Number 4, the certainty we find is certain that he wants you and me. It was a certainty that he wanted Zacchaeus. Come down. Come down. He wants you and me. That's a privilege to know. No matter how many needles you've stuck in your arm, no matter how many lustful things you've thought of, pornographic things you may have saw, no matter how many times you've judged in your mind, no matter how many times you've gossiped, no matter how many times you may have murdered. Friends, can I tell you today, God wants you. What a good news to know. He wants us. Come down. Even though you've been you stole from families when they couldn't provide for their own. Even though you've lied behind people's back. Even though you've cheated. Even though you've done it. Zacchaeus, please come down. And boys and girls, men and women today, he is calling you. Come down. What a privilege to know. There's a certainty from God that he wants you and me. Thank God. That's a certainty for today. No matter what you've done, where you've been, some may not want you. No one else wanted Zacchaeus, but Jesus did. We live in a culture where young folk have no moms and dads, just abandon them. Our orphans in India, Grace can tell you, there are thousands upon thousands that live on the streets. No one wants them. Friends, can I tell you, God wants them. He loves them. He loves you. He loves me. No matter if anyone else wants you or not, I can assure you today of a certainty. He wants you. He knows you. He'll speak to you. He sees you. He wants you. He wants each one of us who are here today. Some churches may not even want you, but can I assure you, God wants you. He wants you quick. Come down. Make haste. Quickly. He wants you quick. He wants you now. Right now, he wants each and every one of you. That's a certainty for this life. He wants each one of us. You know, in South Carolina, it's been a few months ago. Y'all remember the thing that was on the news where a mother smothered her two kids. and pushed the car off into the bridge or off a boat landing or something like that, made it look like they drowned. Y'all remember that? Did y'all hear about that on the news? I thought to myself, and I asked my cousin the question, I said, what can drive a person to that? And his quick answer was the devil, and he's right. But how sad it is that a mom who birthed those kids didn't even want them. But I was reassured by this when I read that. When he told Zacchaeus to come down, you know, there is a certainty that God loves us and wants us. Number five, last certainty for the morning, and we'll be through. There's a certainty that He loves us. For I must abide at thy house. That word abide means to stay with you long enough that everyone will know that you're a different fellow. Abide. And that's what He wants to do for us. Abide with us. Love us. He loves us. There's a certainty in this uncertain world today, friends. You want something to hold on to? Here's some certainties. He loves us. Y'all remember the game? You go pick a flower. You pick the petal off. She loves me. She loves me not. And if you got to the last petal and it says she loved me not, what'd you do? You ain't got another flower. Right? That's what you did, right? Y'all played the game or not? I did anyway. And I ran out of Mama's whole flower bush because it was just divine that she didn't love me. But can I tell you this today? There is no doubting the fact that God loves you. He gave His Son for you. No better gift could anyone have ever gave than what Jesus gave for us. Zacchaeus wasn't settled in his heart whether he loved this Jesus, but Jesus was certainly settled in his heart that he loved that Zacchaeus. And he settled in his heart that he loves each one of us, whether you have it settled in your heart, whether you love him or not. He loves you. It's a certainty. You can take it to the bank. You can bet on it. It's a guarantee he loves you. Verse number 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood, behold, I give half of my goods to the poor. You know what happened to Zacchaeus after he realized Jesus loved him? It changed him. Changed his way of life. Before he was taking, now he was giving. Dear friends, God can change your life. And only God can do that. You know, many people think in this area that we live in the Bible Belt, the middle class world, and that's the only ones God loves. Friends, I hope not to bust your bubble, but God loved the world. That's why He gave His Son. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Message to God's kids today. There's certainty in uncertain times. As our musicians come this morning, the key word was found in verse number 9. It says, in Jesus, the only certainty that I could offer Park Place Baptist Church today is this. The certainty of Jesus. Whatever song, do y'all have a song picked out, brother? If you do, you can go ahead and start playing softly, sister. Whatever music you have, kind of set the mood for our invitation this morning. But you know, I thought it ironic as I read through Matthew 27 this year in verse number 42. You know, even the people that hung on Him beside the cross realized that He loved us. He came to save that which was lost. Verse number 10. Matthew 27, 42. Even the thief that didn't accept Him said, He saved Himself. They realized it. That they realized, or He saved others. Why can't He save Himself? They realized that He saved others. That's why He came. That's why He's here today. To save you, whatever situation you may be in, whether you've given your life to Him or not, if you've already gave it, He's still here to save you. Whatever situation you're in, come down. Come off your high horse, Zacchaeus. Get out of the tree and come down. Humble yourselves before God. He'll help you. He'll help you. 1990, I met President Bush.
Bush is coming through the White House. A group of kids there. We're shaking his hand. He comes to me. He's like, "How are you?" I said, "I'm Todd." You didn't hear the question. "How are you?" "I'm Todd." I mean, that was my answer to it. I was nervous. I was sitting there shaking to meet the president. "What are you going to be?" "Fine." I mean, these are my answers before the president of the United States. Looked genius before him, didn't I? You know he'd want me, right? But I thought to myself, after I told him my name, after he'd went on down the line in our school group, shaking hands and asking questions, after he got several more people down, do you think he remembered my name? Think he knows me today? That's all right. Because there's someone who's called my name. And I came down. And the maker of our universe still remembers it today. He knows your name. And he's calling you. Whatever's in your life today, if you need to give him something, hey, you do that. Listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to you right now. Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. Everyone standing with heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dean, you come and you sing to us after we pray. If you want to sing along, you sing. If you want to come forward and lay something down at this altar this morning, you do that. But you be obedient to God's sweet Spirit today.